With our last class, we saw shloka number 22, which is starting a new topic. And shloka number 22 begins with the idea that is existence my nature or is it a quality? Do I have existence or am I existence? This is the main question upon which Lakshmidhar Kavi is elaborating. And 23 and 24, in the same line, but one is dealing with consciousness and another is dealing with bliss. So, is consciousness my nature or is it a quality? And likewise, is bliss my nature or is it a quality? But before we get too ahead, let's recap what we saw with shloka number 22. Existence is, we say existence is not my nature, if we say like that. If existence is not my nature, then it is a property. And when we say it is a property, then that property has to depend on something for it to exist. Because when you say it is not existence, that means it doesn't have the property of existence. So it is using somebody's existence to exist, right? And we use the example of blueness in a cloth. The blueness is dependent on the thread, the cotton, and everything. If you don't have the thread or cotton, you don't have the blueness in the cloth. So its existence is dependent on cloth. Likewise, is not the case with ourself. Because ourself is existence itself, and because it is existence itself, it doesn't depend on something else for it to exist. This is the underlying topic. To which Swayam Prakashiti ji gives us more clarity by saying, okay, let us say, why can't we say that existence is a property for the self? Why can't existence be a property for the self, like the potness is a property for a pot? Meaning, you know, a pot can be similar. You can go to a shop where you will see pot 1, pot 2, pot 3, pot 4. And they're all pot. Correct? They're all similar. They're all made of same clay. They all have same painting. So there is no confusion. Each one of them look the same. Why can't we say that for Atma, existence is like that? Existence 1, existence 2, existence 3, existence 4, and numerous existences. So, Swayam Prakashiti ji gives the explanation, because when you say pot 1, pot 2, pot 3, by saying pot 1 and pot 2, you are distinguishing already that there is pot 1 which is limited, there is pot 2 which is limited. So the property of pot is like where its limitation is understood. Even though they are of similar nature, even though they are of similar color, everything is the same, made of same clay, but the potness is itself conditioned by its upadhi. So the clay is conditioned by its upadhi. Therefore, you require in that instance to say the potness for pot one. Likewise, potness for pot two. Potness means pot only. I'm just trying to use the word so that way, you know, it becomes a little clear. But you're saying it as pot. This pot, this pot, this pot, this pot. But existence is not like that, because existence is that which pervades through all, and because it pervades through all, there is no reason for you to distinguish as existence one, existence two, existence three, because what are you distinguishing it from? If we were to say this is existence one, existence two, existence three, what are we distinguishing the existence from? Because all three exist. They all have same properties. They all have same existence. So all three are existence. Then why is there a necessity to call existence one, existence two, existence three? In pot example, there is a necessity because someone may be appealed with pot one. So therefore they will buy pot one. Someone is not appealed by pot one. They will buy pot two. Preference. When you go to, you know, when you go shopping grocery, right? All those cereal boxes or cans and things like that. Do you say, okay, no, I like this can better because the can was hidden inside. So I like that better. Can is can, all the same. So it really doesn't matter if you pick the first one or you pick the last one. But when you do pick, it distinguishes one from the other. Correct? Likewise, existence doesn't require distinguishing from other existence because it is all existing. Everything is existing. So therefore, it doesn't require a specific characteristics of existence. Then he says, no. Swayam Prakashatiji only creates this idea that what if we say that, you know, when we say pot is, then we say cloth is, then we say table is. So like that, existence is taking support of the self. So existence is not the existence is not the nature, but existence is taking support, like how the isness is taking support in pot or in cloth or in a table. Can we say like that? So he gives an example in a different way. He says, look at space. Space, we distinguish. We say living room space, drawing room space, kitchen space. And that's how we also have picturized in our mind. You enter somebody's kitchen and you think, oh, kitchen is so small. There's just not enough room. I like big, spacious kitchen. And someone says, no, I like small. I can easily reach to all the things I need. There were the preferences. But you're referring to not the walls. You're referring to the closeness of the wall or the conditioning of the space. Likewise, big living room, small living room, big dining room, whatever. Space, this space, that space. All the space is the same, but they get conditioned by the walls, So because they get conditioned by the walls are the upadhi, and the upadhi does not pervade through the space, but the upadhi only limits the space. You understand when you pervade and when you limit something. When you pervade, you are inside something. So when pot or the room, space is there, the walls of the room is not pervading through the space, the walls of the room are dividing the space from inside and outside. In similar way, the upadhis that we have, which is our mind, intellect, and the body. Mind, intellect are the limitations at the subtle level. And body is the limitations at the grosser level. These limitations make us feel that I am only limited to this body. I'm only existing in this body. Because I think through the BMI. However, what Swayam Prakashiti ji is explaining is that is not correct. There is no jati. Jati, distinction. There is no specificity in existence. And if one is seeing that it is mainly because of the conditioning around. So the existence gets conditioned, and therefore one thinks, I exist as this and that exists as that. So the shloka is trying to get at is, my swarupa is sattvam. My nature is existence, natu dharmaha, and it is not my quality. And the example given is nabhastha. Like how the space is all pervading. Its nature is like that to pervade everything. And nothing can pervade it. But if madanyasya sataha abhavat, if other than existence, there is something, nahi sa jati rishyate. If there is something, then it is because of the conditioning. If there is ever something where one sees there is one existence, second existence, third existence, it is because of the conditioning that one is able to see it like that. But it is truly their nature which allows them to exist. Meaning, I am existing on my own. I don't require the BMI to exist. This is the idea of shloka number 22. And obviously, Swayam Prakashiti ji doesn't leave anything where he says, okay, this is all my world. He gives a quotation by Sage Vasishtha, where he says, this is what Sage Vasishtha says, Vishesham samparityajya sanmatram yadalepakam. So Vishesham, specificity, differences. Samparityajya, renouncing it, getting rid of it. San matram. Matram, which remains, which is left over, which is what? Sat, existence. So that which remains after all the differences has been given up. Differences meaning the upadhis, the grosser things, the subtler things, that which is conditioning, all of that when it is given up, yad alepakam. And that which is, lepa means to smear. We do lepan like that. So alepaka means that which cannot be smeared, that which cannot be touched at all. You can never touch. Can you touch space? No. Though we are in space, we can never touch space. Likewise, that which is ever untouched. This is ekarupam, of one nature. So it has no different nature. Therefore, there is no reason for me to say existence one, existence two, existence three. Maharupam, and it is the vast, supreme nature, which is, that is the nature of everything in this creation, whether it is inert or whether it is sentient, all have this one root, one form. Satta yaha, that existence which is yaha, that which has this existence, tat param viduhu, considered to be viduhu, know this to be the supreme. This is what Vasishthaji said. So how do you explain existence? Existence is that which was always there. It doesn't require something else for it to exist. It exists on its own. This much is clear. Shloka number 22 is over. Yes? No doubts? We move forward? Okay. Well, if that is the case, then he says, okay, fine. Let us not say that existence is the quality of Atma. Let us say knowledge is taking support of Atma. How can you say knowledge is taking support of Atma? So he says, you see this word, aham janami. Aham janami, I know. When you say I know, that knowledge is dependent on something else. If that were not there, how would you know? So I am knowing is dependent on this jagat. If there is no jagat, I don't know. So Atma is dependent on knowledge. So therefore, knowledge is not my nature, but it is my property. If a confusion like this were to arise, and if you say, no, it is not my nature, sorry, it is not my property, it is my nature, then there is this idea of knowledge becoming inert. Like a pot. So this doubt comes, and in order to alleviate this doubt is this next shloka. And the shloka is trying to prove the scriptural thought. Sakshi cheta kevalo nirgunascha. This is the Upanishadic thought where the Upanishad says, Sakshi, which is the witness, that witness is the cheta, is the knower. And kevalaha, it alone is nirgunascha, and has no qualities at all. Meaning, self is consciousness alone. Consciousness is not my property. And in order to prove this next shloka is explain. So let's chant and then we'll see. Swarupam eva me jnanam. Na gunas saguno yadi. अनात्मत्वम् असत्त्वम् अनात्मत्वम् असत्त्वम् वाम् ज्ञेयाज्ञेयत्वयोः पतेत् स्वरूपमेव मे ज्ञानं न गुणः सगुणो यदि अनात्मत्वम् असत्त्वम् वाम् ज्ञेयाज्ञेयत्वयोः पतेत् वेरि सिम्पल् मीनिङ्ग् एण्ड् वेरि सिम्पल् टु अण्डर्स्टाण्ड् आल्सो स्वरूपम् एव मे ज्ञानम् स्वरूपम् मै नेचर् मे मै सो मै नेचर् इस् नालेज् न गुणः and it is not a property. Saha gunaha yadi, if we say knowledge is my property, then gneyaha anatmatvam agneyaha asattvam va patet. Both will create problem in, you know, in logic. It will fall from its nature and it falls from the idea of logic itself. So what is that? So first, Swayam Prakashitiji says that let us ask this question, to those people who say that consciousness is a guna. We, as in Vedanta, we know that consciousness cannot be a quality. Consciousness is my nature. Consciousness is not a property. I am consciousness and not I am conscious of something. Not that I am aware of something. To those who say that consciousness is a property, then we should ask them. This is what Swayam Prakashadiji says. We should ask them, is that known then? Meaning, this consciousness, which is with quality of knowledge, or this Atma, which is with quality of knowledge, is this Atma known? And if you say, of course, it is known, then known gneya, right? That the word that comes anatmattvam asattvam va gneya, that word gneya. Gneya means known. So if you say that this consciousness is a quality, a property, then property is something that which is known, correct? Property by itself is defined as such that which is known. Even in subtle ways, you can know. Like how I know my own thoughts. I may not know the thoughts in a nature of a color or in the form of a shape or in a smell. Those are not there because thoughts do not require these for it to exist. But I know them. And when I know them, gneyaha, when I know these properties, what happens to them? They become anatmatvam. Atma means self. Anatma means not self. And by not self means they become inert. that which is known by me becomes inert. Because inert is always known by sentient. And not the other way. Meaning, inert cannot know the sentient. Like how objects of the world cannot know who I am. Although, you know, nowadays, if you go to Amazon Fresh and you purchase groceries, it seems like the objects are knowing you, because all you have to do is put it in the basket and you've done shopping and you just walk out, right? I don't know anybody has shopped Amazon Fresh like that. But so the concepts are like that. However, there is still somebody knowing. The programming has been fit in there. So that who is knowing is to be the one that is sentient. Computers by themselves don't know. There has to be somebody behind that computer who is making sure that the data is correct. Otherwise, Jeff Bezos wouldn't be that rich, correct? If he didn't have somebody intelligent to do this, he would be broke like everybody. So the point is, some sentient had to be there behind the inert. Inert cannot know the sentient. In the same way, if I were to know my Atma, if I were to know myself as a property, that is very key point. If I were to know myself as a property, Vedanta, we say, I don't know myself as a property. I know myself as my own nature. So that is a different point in Vedanta. But in this example, Swayam Prakashati ji saying that, if I were to know myself as a property, then I myself will become inert. Because somebody else is knowing me. So somebody else is knowing me, I cannot know that. And if you say agneya, agneya means that this consciousness is not known, is not subject to knowledge. Then if it is not subject to knowledge, then creates another problem. What is the problem? The problem is asattum. It becomes asat. Because that which you don't know, that which I don't know, that which nobody knows, how can you say it exists? It doesn't exist. Has anybody seen a horn on a rabbit? Not in fictional characters. In real life, in existing world, in our world that we live in and kicking, we have not seen. Therefore, what it means is knowledge is not asat. I myself know. I myself have experienced. So consciousness has to be my nature. It cannot simply be a property. Obviously, he doesn't stop there. Swayam Prakashati ji says, this is all coming from the quotation. So first quotation he uses is of Badarayana in Brahma Sutra, which says, Gnota Eva. There's a sutra like that. Gnota Eva. Gnah atah eva. Gnah means knowledge. Atah, therefore. Eva is. So, therefore, it is knowledge. It here is the Atma. The self. So, Atma alone is the self. So, our Rishi wouldn't lie to us by saying consciousness is knowledge and then have us believe that it is a property. Okay? So they wouldn't fool us like that. And to this quotation, Vidyaranya Swamiji has presented in there's a text called Adhikarana Ratnamala. You don't have to know the text, but ever in life you get a chance to study, then there is a book like that, which is his commentary, Vidyaranya Swamiji's commentary on Brahma Sutra. So there Vidyaranya Swamiji says, there's a thought by Purva Paksha. He uses this Purva Paksha thought and he says, Achidrupoho, Achidrupo atha Chidrupaha, Jivo, Jivo Chidrupa Ishyate. Okay. Jiva, which is combination of inert, not combination, Achidrupa, inert, Atha Chidrupa, or consciousness or knowledge. Then for this jiva, chidrupaha ishyate. Sorry, not chidrupaha, achidrupaha ishyate. So then it is believed or it is said that it is better to say that this jiva is achidrupaha in it. And here by the reference, jiva is not the jiva we understand in Vedanta. So he's using Purva Paksha, he's using the philosophy of Nyaya. The reason why I'm explaining is because the shloka that he uses is going to become clear afterwards. Okay. So he says that jiva can be inert or can be knowledge. But ishyate, it is desirable that jiva is inert. Why do you say that? Why do you say that the jiva has to be inert? Chit abhavat sushuptyava. Because jiva is not present in sushupti. In deep sleep, jiva is not there. Which jiva? Not the jiva that we think in Vedanta. Here, the Nyaya thinks jiva is the ultimate, the consciousness, the supreme. So in their understanding, this self can be inert or can be knowledge, sorry, can be inert or can be knowledge, but it is better to presume it has to be inert because in deep sleep, this jiva is not there. And in waking, jagrati, in waking state, chinmanasakrita is created by the thoughts of the mind. So the jiva comes about in waking and dream state because of the mind. So mind is the cause for this self. This is the philosophy of Nyaya. So to this point, Vidyaranya Swamiji refutes and says, Brahmatvat eva chidrupaha. Atma is consciousness because it is Brahman. And chit sushuptau na lupyate. And in consciousness, this Atma has not disappeared, has not gone away anywhere. Why do you say that it has not gone away anywhere? I experience in deep sleep no jiva, no consciousness, nothing. So how can you say it has not gone anywhere? So he says, dvaitad, dvaita drishtihi, dvaita lopat. When there is duality, in this duality, you experience the light. Meaning, when transaction is happening, in the movement of transaction, we experience the isness and the knowledge all together. But when this dvaita ends, so dvaita lopat, when the dvaita finishes, there is no dvaita, like in deep sleep, there are no transactions happening, we do not experience any existence or any knowledge. So just because we don't experience anything in deep sleep, it doesn't mean that I don't exist in deep sleep, nor there is knowledge in deep sleep. It only means that there is cessation of duality in deep sleep. It is like this. We are all sitting here, correct, in this class. Transactions happening. I am speaking, you're listening. So in my understanding, I am able to say that there's a transaction, there's a listener, there is a speaker. When everybody is gone from this room, I am still here. Everybody is gone. The rooms are still there. There is no transaction happening because I'm not speaking. There's nobody listening. There is no transaction happening. Yet, the presence is there. I am there. So my presence is not dependent on the transaction when I speak and when you listen. It's not dependent on that. But the waking world is all about that. In waking world, everything is dependent on transaction. But in deep sleep, there is no transaction. So therefore, I'm not aware of the presence. In deep sleep, I'm not aware of the presence. But in waking, when I wake up, I have a recollection that I was there. And we talked about that idea, pratyabhijna. So that is the point here that Vidyaranya Swamiji is mentioning, that consciousness is my nature. Consciousness cannot be a property of mine. Okay. This is the idea of shloka number 23. Shall we move forward? Same thing now with having to do with bliss, meaning ananda. So sat chit ananda aspect now. अहमेव सुखं नान्यत्। अन्यत् चेन्नैव तत् सुखम्। अमदर्थं नहि प्रेयः। मदर्थं न स्वतः प्रियम्। अहमेव सुखं नान्यत्। अन्यत् चेन्नैव तत् सुखम्। अमदर्थं नहि प्रेयः। मदर्थं न स्वतः प्रियम्। Before we go into it, I will just ask one simple thing. That which you like, does that have joy in it? Anybody? Yes, Gopal.
Yes, whatever I enjoy, I like.
Okay, so that which I like has joy in it. Okay. Archana ji is nodding.
From all the learning, joy is not in that object. It's I happen to like or dislike based on my ignorance that I feel that it joy is in there.
Okay, so we have two opinions now. Where is the rest of the class?
I do feel that joy is subjective. And likeness is, we kind of think it's outside, it's with the object. We think that that object is giving us, but it's subjective. I can be happy without joyous, without any object being there.
Okay. So,
that same object.
Yes.
Sorry. That same object will not give me joy every time. And that same object will not give same joy to other people, to everyone. So that's why joy is not in the object.
Anita ji?
I think joy is the state of my own mind. How I am, that is how I see them, perceive the objects.
Joy is in the state of mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you say the joy is for sukham, that's what I meant. Because I like myself the best.
Huh. I like myself the best.
Right.
But if I like myself the best, then it is not, I am enjoying myself.
Not enjoyment.
Right? Yeah. This is the same idea here.
Sukham.
Go ahead.
Sukham. That's what it says.
Huh, correct.
Yeah.
So, do not be confused by the word sukham and the sukha of an object. Because in Shastra, or in Vedanta, these terms are very interchangeable. You call sukha, you call ananda, they're very interchangeable because the world are not held to their meaning, but the context in which the words are used is held to their meaning. In English, what we do is we hold the word to its meaning and then we carry that to all the applications everywhere, which is a little different in Vedanta. So here, when it says, aham eva sukham, I am joy. By saying I am joy, it is not saying I am deriving joy out of myself to enjoy myself. I am the nature of bliss. That is the point. Aham eva sukham. I am bliss alone. I am that supreme happiness. Big H. Aham eva sukham. Na anyat. And not anything else. Meaning, I am not the material joy. Not the property joy. Anyat chet, if I were something else, then that something else, naiva, will never be tat sukham, will never be the ultimate sukha, will never be the ultimate ananda. So if I were that something else joy, then that will not be considered the supreme bliss. Why do you say that? Two reasons. It says, amadartham. Mat means for me. Amat means not for me. Artham, whatever that, for that purpose. So madartham, for me. Amadartham, not for me. If the object or if that which is something other than sukha, something other than that ananda, and it is not for me, amadartham, nahi preyaha. There is no joy in it. If it is not for me, I don't have any joy in it because it is not for me. Correct? And madartham, if it were for me, na swataha priyam. If this other type of sukha were for me, then it inherently doesn't have the likability. How do you say it doesn't have a likability? Because it is for me. So because it is for me, my likeness is based on the condition, my desires that make me think it is likable at this moment. Once my condition changes, that very likable thing can turn into unlikable. Or that likable can be a cause for dvesha for somebody else. So same item which is likable is a cause of dvesha for someone else. How is that possible? That which is likable has to be likable by all. If that which, again, I'm going back to the shopping example today. I don't know why. So, if there were only one product, then there would be a monopoly by a company. Everything will be only, you know, sold by Kellogg's. Only Kellogg's cereal. no Millville cereals, no other company, no Post cereals, only Kellogg's. Right? But the reason why we have these different varieties is because one is likable by one and another is likable by another. One has a preference, another has another preference. So that which is likable will have this conditioning inherent in it that it itself is not dear. It only becomes dear for someone when those conditions are met. If I were to subject myself to this, then both do not apply to me. Because as Gopal Krishnanji said, I am likable to me always. If I am likable to me always, which means there is never a time where I am unlikable. And my likableness is likable by others also. Isn't that like a saying? If you love yourself, the world loves you also. But if you hate yourself, the world will also hate you. It is a very common belief. Many people say, first love to respect yourself. Love to love yourself. Then you will find respect and love from others. So that means what? Is this where one is identifying in that true source and not by the superficial BMI love. I love my body, therefore I love myself. No. So if it is for me, it doesn't have inherent joy. And if it is not for me, it is not joyful at all. Therefore, my nature is bliss. Okay. So this is the thought process. We'll hold off here. I will continue with the commentary by Swayam Prakashitiji next time. But you have already understood the meaning, so I don't need to go too much deeper into the shloka in the comment. Any questions?
So Dhirinji here, aham sukham is the self here, not the ego when we are saying aham sukham.
Yes, aham is atma.
Atma, okay.
So no question, then let's conclude with a prayer. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.